All right, our message today. You guys like God's love so much, we're just going to keep talking about it. How does that sound? Huh? Yes, I'm excited about it too. Our Reasonable Service, Part 5. Love, as an acronym. Life of Victory Enabled by Him. Amen. So if you ever want to think about love and about, oh, I just love the Lord and He loves me, then ask yourself, am I putting His love in action? Because He has enabled me to do that through faith. Amen? That's when you know you're walking in Him. And that's what our message is going to be about today. We're going to be able to even love our enemies. Not because of anything that's within us, but what has come down upon us. The love of God poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're going to talk about today. But let's pray first. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank You for answering our prayers already, as You have enabled us to do the worship and to get through all this, even though my son is missing in action, so to speak. Father, I just pray right now that You would heal him, get him through this flu where he's bedridden and just for the last 3 days has really been sick. Father, I just pray that You would just raise his weary bones up and just refresh him and revitalize him. And thank You so much for his service each and every week. And this just reminds me how each person in the body has a gifting that You desire them to do, including administration. And Father, I do appreciate the administration gift that You've given my son so much. Thank You so much for that. Father, we now lift up the message to You. Our reasonable service is a life of victory enabled by Jesus Christ as we go forward in faith and love others as You have loved us. And we know it all comes because You first loved us, and that we love You with all our heart, mind, strength, and soul. So, Father, we lift this up to You. And just as we looked at before, we know that without love, even if we were to sacrifice ourselves or have ourselves sacrificed at a burning stake, without love, it would mean nothing. It would just be like a clanging of a cymbal, sound and fury signifying nothing. But, Father, in Your love, even the littlest things that we do, like giving a cup of water to one of Your saints, is so greatly rewarded in heaven. And we thank You for that as we desire to glorify You in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so last week we focused on the glue that holds us together in Christ, His agape love or His supernatural love. And that's the love we're to have for each other. As we love the Lord with all our being, we'll love one another in His love. And as the family of God, we'll have that sacrificial love, that agape love, which is the circulatory system of Christ's body. It's His love pumping through us that pulls us together in the love of Christ and just makes us knit together, each joint doing its part as the body of Christ. As He's given spiritual gifts for each of us to do, different ones, as the body needs different parts doing different functions, but we all have that same love. The love for God and love for one another that He has poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Christ crucified. God's divine expression of love shown to us and for us. May we be those living sacrifices that He desires us to be, to show His love for others. That's what we're to do. That's how we know that we're His disciples, when we love one another. And the world will know that we're His disciples in all this. We also explored over the last few weeks the meaning of this love with regards to 8 qualities. Sincerity, like consecration, sincere to God and sincere to one another. Discernment, affection, honor, enthusiasm, patience, generosity, and hospitality. And they all build upon one another as they're grown as fruit of the Spirit, all out of love. All these things will grow, and not only will we love one another, but we'll open up our homes and our houses to others, and we'll actually seek out people to invite into our homes to show the love of God to them. As maybe that's the first time anyone's really, truly loved them. Love them with agape. Selfless love. Unconditional love. the love that makes us whole and can make them whole as well. And we are perfected in this love as it is perfected in us when we imitate Christ and we practice His righteousness. And by this we know that we are in Him, as the Word says, as we walk as He did. How did He walk? In love. Today, we're going to talk about how we practice His righteousness in love, a life of victory enabled by Him. And in this, we're being perfected by applying it to our lives through faith, as we begin to walk as He walked. Even towards those who persecute and hate us. Because that's what Jesus did. Anything less is just as the world would do. We're not of the world, even though we're in it. We're of Christ Jesus. We're a product of His love. Let's read what this tells us we're to be enabled to do then. Let's read Romans 12, 14 through 21. And it says, it has got to be God's love for us to be able to do this. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for the good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, you be loved by God. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what love in action looks like, folks. It's not something that you just have in your heart or you think it's a good idea to do. It's literally applying God's word in your life and doing it. Because He first loved us, and we were right where those fallen sinners were. But now, as redeemed sinners, we're His saints. And this is our reasonable service as His living sacrifices. Ephesians 5, 1 through 3 says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ has also loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. We are living sacrifices when we give off the sweet-smelling aroma of Christ by being His love offering to a dark and dying world. Think about that. You're a living sacrifice so you can be a love offering to a dark and dying world. Because we're in the world. But may we not be entrapped by the world when we go to do this. So may we go in discernment and be led by the Holy Spirit and do this only as He would guide, enable, and empower us to do. It may be a good idea to go somewhere, but unless He's opened the door, don't climb through the window. Hallelujah. All right, so that's going to be our message today. Verses 14 through 16. In Christ, be practical and have a life of victory enabled by the mind of Christ. And what I mean by being practical, you know, the commentators call this practical Christianity, and is the application that applies to everyone who calls themselves a Christian. This isn't something that just super Christians do. This is something that all people who are in Christ and have grown in the love of Christ will do and will desire to do. And you've got to first overcome yourself. You've got to get to the end of yourself before you can do this. And allow God's love to work into and through you. And to go in faith, not in fear. And to present yourself as that love offering as He would desire you to, as He leads you to do. And the root word here is practice. So practical application. What's the root word of practical? Practice. It's practical because you practice it. It makes sense to do because you're practicing it. You're being perfected in it. What are we practicing but His righteousness in the love of God? And our love for others is a result of practicing His righteousness. What does righteousness mean? But to treat others rightly. Godliness is loving God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. Loving one another is righteousness. That's right living. That's what we're to do. That's how we're to treat one another. Because God loves everyone. He gave His Son for the whole world, not just for you and me. For the whole world. He wants none to perish. And guess who's assigned the responsibility to share that with the world? Each and every one of us. By how we live and how we love. A life of victory enabled by Christ Jesus. So this is our practical application as Christians. So what's our first practical application? In the love of God. Bless those who persecute you. You don't start off easy, does it? Well, I did last couple of weeks. Love one another. Okay. That's like saying, love your spouse. Oh, okay. All right, we got to practice that too because we keep getting ourselves in the way. Well, now that you got that down, right, you can love yourself, you can love your wife, you can love your spiritual family. Now practice on something a little more difficult. Bless those who persecute you. It's got to come from above. Bless and do not curse. What's this mean? It means in the mind of Christ, because we're transformed by the renewing of our minds, and that's where the spiritual battle comes in, because even though we have God or Christ formed in our heart, and we'll desire to do what He wants us to, it's our mind that says, oh no, I can't do that. I shouldn't do this. This is dangerous. I can't take that risk. Oh, what if they say this or what if they do that? Stop it. Pray about it. Clear your mind of those thoughts, that stinking thinking, and go forward as the Word would lead you, as the Spirit would lead you, and as the doors are open for you to do by the enablement of love and by the power of the spiritual gift that He's given you, as we've looked at over the last several weeks. So in the mind of Christ, we'll respond to others' emotions and actions as Jesus did, whether they're a believer or not. It's easy to love someone who loves you. Not so easy to love someone who hates you. But that's the point of this message. Persecution is the emotion of hatred, but always remember who they hated. Who do they hate? Jesus. They don't hate you. They hate Jesus. They hate who you represent. You're an ambassador of Christ. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says. We're ambassadors of Christ. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We're to go forth and we're to give the love of Christ to people who hate us. Because guess who hated Christ also? We did. We hated Him too. Until someone, as led by the Holy Spirit, at the right time when the Holy Spirit had prepared them to hear the gospel, someone came along and shared the gospel with us and shared the light of life and the love of God with us. And it changed our life. It gave us eternal life instead of damnation the sons of rebellion are going to face. So don't think you're any better than that sinner that has yet to give their life to Jesus. We were dead in our trespasses too, until we heard and responded to the love of God and the ability He gives us as He gives us the faith to do it. Amen. Who do we think we are to look down upon anyone in this world? God looked down upon us. Did He see the product of what He desired from us? No. Because this is a fallen world. So what did He do to remedy that? He gave His Son, His one and only Son, to die for each and every person in this world. So that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have eternal life. Now, it's each person's responsibility, response to the love of God and the ability that He gives them to accept that gift of grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. and to have the love of God poured out in their hearts. So He looked down on us and showed mercy. May we look at one another in that same mercy. And we see no one in the flesh, but only as needing the Holy Spirit. That's what a life of victory enabled by Him will have us think of in our minds of Christ. We're no better than they are, save one thing, Christ Jesus and Him crucified and Him living in us. And He wants them to have that same thing. That's why we have to love our enemies, because the world hates Him. But He knows who will choose Him. And He calls the whole world. But only a few will respond. But we are His ambassadors and His messengers. And it's not, the response isn't up to us. But the message given by how we live and how we love is up to us. No servant is greater than their master. Let's turn to John 15, 18 through 20. See how they treated Jesus, or how they first hated Him. And it says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated Me, Jesus speaking here, before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. They hate you because they know you don't belong to the world. You belong to Jesus. Yet because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Rejoice when the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted Me, they will also persecute you. We need to be prepared for that. And what's our response going to be? Bless those who persecute us as Jesus did. Because you know what? They're cursed already. And they don't even know it. They're headed for hell. And they don't even need a handbasket. They're headed there already. They belong to Satan and don't even know it. They're deceived. And there's only one thing that can take it away. Surrendering to Jesus Christ through faith. Cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So they're headed for hell if we don't show Christ's love to and for them. This is the victory we have in Jesus. We'll pray for those who persecute us. That's victory. That's the life of victory. A life of victory enabled by Him. We'll pray for those who are persecuting us, just as Jesus did. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, as they nailed His hands to the cross. Pounded through His hands. Dumped in a hole 3 feet or 4 feet deep in that jerk that He experienced. Let alone with all the scourging and the beatings and the things He suffered. Did He curse them for it? No, He blessed them. Blessed them because truly, unredeemed sinners don't know what they do. They're blinded and in under the bondage of sin and are lost. That's the reality of it. May that be our mindset. And this is our practical application of unconditional love. You know, unconditional love is easy to say, but you can only give it through the enablement of the Holy Spirit. That's what walking in Christ is all about. It ain't a checklist of sins you don't do. It's a life surrendered to Christ and all that He desires to do into and through you. And there's no list that are kept in that. All that you will see and rejoice in are the fruit of the Spirit that's grown in you because He is in you, and you are, by faith, growing in the love of Christ and being perfected. It's not a list. It's a life. Life of victory. It's not a zero-sum game. We win and they lose. God desires the whole world to be saved. So that's why we say we hate the sin, but love the sinners. And you know, let's turn to Matthew 5:10-12. Matthew 5:10-12, because Jesus blesses us when we do this for His name's sake, as the reward of heaven awaits us. So rejoice. Rejoice in your persecution, because you will receive a great reward. Matthew 5:10-12 says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." That don't mean they persecute you because you're smart aleck mouth, or your pious attitude, or you think you're better than them because you're saved and they're not. It says that you're persecuted because of righteousness' sake. In other words, you're loving them and they're not responding to it. They respond in the flesh, which is hate. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, or my sake. 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We're in a wonderful crowd there. Wonderful group. The prophets. Those who look down from heaven. The great cloud of witnesses that look down upon us from heaven. That great cloud of witnesses includes the angels, who just don't understand why God would do this with us lowly creatures. To prove He is God. To prove He can take the lowest beings that have a spirit and make them God-like by His power, through His love, for His glory. But it cost Him the most priceless gift there ever was, His Son. That's how precious you are to Him. Ever think that you're not worthy? Think about the price paid for you. Oh, you're worthy. But you're worthy in Christ and His righteousness and in His love. Because that's what God desires, is our love returned to Him. His love, I should say, returned to Him through Christ Jesus. As Jesus was the conduit to reconcile us back to the Father. So don't ever think you're not worthy of God's love. Now, what you do with it is a different story. Walk worthy. Rest in Him. But resting isn't a complacency. Resting is sitting in the high places in heaven with Him. Walking in Christ on earth as you sit in heaven with Him. Practicing His righteousness for the glory of God. As the Son gave Himself to be able to glorify the Father in us and through us. And remember, those who suffer with Christ here on earth will reign with Him in heaven. My concern isn't for those who are suffering in Christ, other than to pray for them and for God to get them through that trial and for them to grow as God would want them to. My concern is for those who are facing no persecution, have no trials in their life, have no testing. You got to wonder where you're at in your walk. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you that love Him. As I tell people who when they come into the ministry and was told to me, be ready for persecution. Be ready for trials and testing, because this is what grows us. Remember, the fruit is grown where? In the valleys, not in the mountaintops. But that's the love of God doing that in us. Because all things work to the good, right? For those who love the Lord and are thee called according to His purposes. If you're more of the world than just merely in it, repent. Ask God to remove the inhibitions that you have. The fleshly desires for the world's treasures, and have His love show through you by being in the fire, being refined, being raised up to fulfill the hope of your calling. Because He has a great plan for each and every one of us. Plans to prosper us and not to harm us. Plans for us to utilize God's riches at Christ's expense for His glory. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So in Christ's love, we'll be enabled to rejoice with others, and that sounds easy. We'll rejoice with those who have experienced His victories in their lives. And it may be the rejoicing that comes as a saint has faithfully completed a tremendous trial or testing. Then God has given them a marvelous mountaintop experience, and we see how they have grown in the fruit of the Spirit and grown in the empowerment of God and been given more responsibility in serving Him. And we'll sit there, and instead of rejoicing, we'll say, I want that. But aren't willing to go through what they did to get it. Because we face the same process. Trials, tribulations, and testing. Because that's what changes us from glory to glory. We covet what God does to other people in the flesh and for other people. We covet it. So really, rejoicing for someone who is succeeding in the Lord and exceeding beyond our wildest imagination can't be done in the flesh. We'll actually, what's the word? Why God, why not me? And the answer is, because you weren't willing. You weren't ready. And you aren't able in your flesh. So may we be able to truly rejoice with those God has grown and given the ministries, and they're flourishing, and that their lives are growing fruit, and that He's blessed them instead of begrudging what God's given them and us wanting it when we're not willing to get the gain because we don't want to go through the pain. And you know, covetousness poisons the body. The love of Christ is our circulatory system. But guess what blood poisoning is? Covetousness. Wanting what others have. What God is doing in them. And how come, believe me, I've went through it. How come they got a big church and I don't? How come there's people overflowing? They go into Wiregrass and they'll sit, 1,000 of them will sit and watch somebody on TV. And we can't get 20 people here on a Sunday. But you know what? This is what God has for me, and I'm blessed by that. But don't think I haven't thought. And don't think I haven't repented. I'm in this with you, man. I'm going through this too. You know? Praise Him for where we are. Let's be satisfied with what He's given us. Because the Word is just as true coming out of my mouth as it is out of Andy Stanley's mouth if he's preaching the Word. But God has a place for each and every person. And the place that He's given us is to disciple people, to grow them from where they're at to what He desires them to be, and not just to feel good about being in this world. Training is hard. It's meant to be. But God is love. And it's hard because He loves us. And He cares for us. And He wants us and desires us and requires us to be like His Son. Amen. And I'm not saying those at Wiregrass aren't being discipled too. I'm just saying here, you know, we go verse by verse and have a different ministry. And I'm blessed by that ministry. Pressing on. So, we'll rejoice with those who are experiencing victories. And we'll weep for those who are hurting as we think, you know what? You know, weeping. Think weeping's hard. No, weeping's easy. Weeping's easy. Because you know what we think? In the flesh, we're like, oh, they need me. Well, I'm going to go weep with them. I'm going to go comfort them. Well, they need me. Rejoicing in somebody's victory means they don't need you. They needed God and He's rewarded them. Now you come along and rejoice with them. Because you know what? God wants to do the same thing in your life. But weeping, we get this, oh, I'm going to go comfort them. They need me. Oh, I can make them feel better. No, you can't. God said, don't go make them feel better. Don't go preach to them. Don't go say anything. Just go weep with them. God's going to do it. When you show your love to them, God's love to them, then God's going to handle it. You don't have to say a word. Keep your mouth shut. Doesn't say weep and talk and share what you think about the situation. In fact, I don't know about you, but while I'm weeping, it's hard to talk. There's a reason for that. I think that's why I weep here at church sometimes. He wants me to shut up. You've said enough. Now let me handle it, as he says. Christ's mindset is Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. John 11:35, two words. Jesus wept. And this was when Mary and Martha wept when Jesus came because Lazarus had died. Jesus wept even though he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. What does this show us? It shows us that he humbled himself to feel the emotions that they felt. That sin brought death. And that salvation's plan is this has to happen. But we too are going to be raised from the dead. And he demonstrated that in Lazarus, physically, as a miracle. But we're raised from the dead spiritually, as soon as we accept Christ. But Jesus wept is the point. Even knowing the outcome, he was going to remedy it. But he identified with Mary and Martha and their bereavement. So even though in our heart we may know God's going to handle it, weep for them and with them. And pray with them for God to handle it and to comfort them. We think we know so much. And that's when we don't know anything. Verse 16. Have the same mind toward one another. Now this, I believe, is here in the family of God. You know, as believers, may we be one accord with Christ. As being the body, we're to grow into the head, which is Jesus. And this is only possible because His love is pumping through us, His body. And this enables us to love one another. And this is a practical matter as well. As God is love, and in love, Jesus humbled himself and came to this earth in the flesh. That's the demonstration. That was a practical matter that Jesus had to do in order for us to be saved. Well, guess what? It's a practical matter for us as well, that we're to have the same mind towards one another. We're to humble ourselves as Christ humbled himself and became flesh. We're to humble ourselves. And you know what? Not to think too highly of ourselves, but put ourselves in that person's shoes because we haven't walked a mile in them. So if Christ was willing to come down from heaven and walk among us, may we walk among whoever He brings to us and show the love of Christ. So it says, do not set your mind on high things, but instead associate with the humble, the lowly. Associate with the lowly. And do not be wise in your own opinion. That's conceit. I like how Romans 12:16 in Amplified Bible puts it. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, which means snobbish, high-minded, and exclusive. Don't put yourself in gated communities and think that you're meeting the world or whatever. I mean, you can live in gated communities if God gives you one. But I mean, you know, don't be exclusive. Don't just deal with brothers and sisters in Christ. God's got a plan for you. You can't save the world in your own house. You can start with your own family. When that's done, move to next door. Then after next door, move out of your neighborhood. Don't move. I mean, you're bodily. Get up and go. Outside your own neighborhood. Don't be exclusive. Don't be high-minded. Don't be snobbish. But readily adjust yourself to people and things. Be flexible. Chuck Smith, 101. The flexible shall not break. Be flexible, for they shall not be broken. Be flexible, for they shall not be broken. Adjust yourself to people and things, to situations. And give yourselves to humble tasks. Humble tasks may be cleaning the church. Maybe picking up after people. Maybe helping the sick. And all the things that involves. Never overestimate yourself or be wise in your own conceits. Never be wise in yourself. That's conceit. Having a life of victory enabled by Him is to be loved by Him. You are His beloved. You be loved by Him. And you're going to show that love to others. And it's having His power then under the control of His Spirit. And this is meekness. That's what meekness means. Power under control. His power under His control as the Holy Spirit leads and guides you. Let's turn to Matthew 5:5. And it says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And this is how we practice His righteousness that's been imparted to us. We're going to have His power under His control, and we're going to go forward as He leads us, as we follow Jesus. And then Matthew 5:6 comes into play. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for His righteousness, for they shall be filled." So, when we have His power under control, we are experiencing the righteousness that He has imparted to us. We have therefore been filled as we hungered and thirst for His righteousness. We're filled to overflowing then the desire to go out and treat people as Jesus would treat them. The golden rule, right? Treat others as you would want them to treat you. Well, more than that, treat others as Christ treated them. That's the true golden rule. And filled with the mind of Christ, we'll think like He does. We'll treat others rightly as He did. And that is always demonstrated by putting others first above ourselves, even our enemies. As we'll now look at how His love enables us to be practical in this too. As His unconditional love comes through us to those who hate Him and hate us, when you're enabled to do that, you're practically walking as Christ walked, as His love is perfected in you. That's the practical application. You're practically walking as He walked. Meaning you're putting it into place. You're practicing His righteousness. Not meaning that you're almost there. You are there. You're practicing what He practiced. Don't think you're going to be perfect at it, because it's all part of that perfection process. Pressing on and in closing, keeping along the theme, practically speaking, what they intended for evil, God uses for good. This is the way of the cross. Satan thought if he could crucify Jesus, that'd be the end of it. What he intended for evil, God used for good. Because I don't think Satan had a clue about redemption. Because there hasn't been one angel redeemed. Only people are redeemed, because Christ only died for humans. Died for us. So this is the way of the cross, and He uses us in this manner to demonstrate God's love. And how does He do that? Verse 17, "Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men." Returning evil for evil or good for good is how the world treats one another. We're to be different. We're to be like Christ. We're to return good for evil. This is how Christ walked and expressed God's love to the world. And for us to walk as He did takes God's agape love, supernatural love, to overcome our fleshly desires and fears. And may we also not be enticed by evildoers to become like the world, but instead to continually walk victoriously in His love. Walking as He walked, away from the things of the world, though we're in the world, but walking towards those who need His Spirit and the love of Christ as the light of their life. You know, this is what Joseph did in the Old Testament. Jacob's son Joseph, when thrown in the well, sold as a slave and tempted by Potiphar's wife, she tried to seduce him. When he refused and ran out of there, leaving his robe behind, he was falsely accused of attempted rape, thrown in prison for 2 years. But then God had a plan for him all along. Right? As he walked righteously, even though he's falsely accused, he was raised up to become Pharaoh's deputy, his right-hand man. Also, God could protect His chosen people, the Hebrews, which He would need to do for 400 years till the Exodus. What his brothers did, Joseph's brothers intended for evil, God intended for good, and that's what Joseph told them when they all got back together. And Joseph is a foreshadow of Christ, redeeming all of God's chosen people, us included. And this is the smell of God's victory. the sweet aroma of Christ's love in your life. When you can be tempted, well, and I'm sure he was tempted, but he ran away from it and he still was falsely accused. The smell or the aroma of God in your life is the victory you have in Jesus because you fled, because you trust in Him. Even though you may be imprisoned, you're trusting in Him and you have faith in Him. And it's His grace that's going to get you through it, and that's what you're hanging on to. Just as Joseph did. Ephesians 5:2. And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Christ was a love offering to us because God so loved the world. If we're going to imitate Christ, guess what we're to be? A love offering, just like He was. That's what being a living sacrifice means. That's our reasonable service. That was His divine expression of love to us. And guess what? We're to give God's divine expression of love to others. When they mistreat and abuse and persecute us, even unto death. On our lips we should say, as God would enable us to say through the supernatural gift of faith, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You think you can't do it? You're right. You're absolutely right. You can't do it. But God can do it in, to, and through you at the right time. So don't ponder it. Jesus says, I'll give you the words to say. Don't think about what you're going to say. Don't even think about those situations. Just think about the author and finisher of your faith. And loving Him, and you'll love others. As God loved us, as Christ loved us. So this is the witness that God desires us to have in the sight of all men. Just as Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And people will see God in us too. They'll see Christ when we're loving like this. Was that a Catholic nun? The one in India? Mother Teresa, thank you. That's what Mother Teresa showed. The love of God for the downtrodden, the untouchables. People weren't even supposed to touch Him. She showed the love of God to these people by sacrificing herself, for being a living, loving sacrifice. And who knows how many people come to Christ because of that witness. The love of God and learning in the truth. Hearing the truth and growing in the truth. And you know what? Mother Teresa is a saint. But so are we. A redeemed sinner is a saint. Now, she had a different calling than the rest of us. But God is no less able or willing to empower and enable us to fulfill the hope He has for our calling as He was for Mother Teresa. Because He loves us just as much. Having Christ's love, life of victory enabled, manifest itself in the smell of God's victory in this dark and dying world. The sweet smell of victory in this world is the fragrance of Christ that comes through us sharing the gospel. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 2:14 through 17. 2 Corinthians 2:14 through 17. I think this here sums it up pretty good. 2 Corinthians 2:14 through 17. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. He always leads us in victory in Christ Jesus. Even when you think you're losing, you're winning in Christ. Because the world sees you as a loser. Good. We know we have victory in Christ. And through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. What's the fragrance of His knowledge? The knowledge of His love, the knowledge of His will, the knowledge of His life. Every place we go. Verse 15, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death, leading to death. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear what we say about eternal life. All we talk about is death, 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 death. So to them, we're the aroma of death leading to death. It's nonsense to them. And to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. To those that hear the life-giving truth, we'll be the aroma of eternal life given to them, the smell of sweet victory in Christ Jesus. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, selling it and trying to make money out of it, or using his gifts like Balaam did to make money, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. In other words, God sees everything we do, and we're only able to do it because we're in Christ, and he's doing it into and through us. So we're always led in triumph. This is the victory we have in Christ Jesus, and we'll lead others to him in love. Psalm 23:5 says, he prepares a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. What does that mean? Well, he prepares a table for me with sinners and tax collectors and wine bibbers and fornicators and all these other things you can think of that sinners do that I won't go into. He prepares this table for me and for you. We're to sit with him as Jesus did. He sat with sinners and dined with them. But what does he do? He anoints our head with oil. He pours out the Holy Spirit upon us so that in the gifts of the Spirit we can share the love of God as we're enabled to do. And we lead him to Jesus as he gives us the words to say. And my cup runneth over because we're sharing this with everyone. Not holding it to ourselves. It's not like a half-empty cup or a half-filled life. It's the abundant life, overflowing with the love of God and the acts of the Holy Spirit in us. We're really Acts 29. Yes, Acts 28, the starting of the church ended at Acts 28. We're Acts 29. We're continuing the growth of the church. We're furthering God's kingdom to this day. That's why our cup runneth over. And goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we can't take anything with us except those who we love. And shared the good news with, and discipled, and helped, and nurtured, and grew together as the body of Christ. They're all going with us. And we'll be like a bright shining star, Daniel said, in heaven. Because we fulfilled what God desired us to. Who is the bright morning star? Jesus Christ. We'll be like him, is what it's saying. Because we love like he did. A life of victory enabled by him, in him, and through him. This is victory. Victory isn't just about you being saved. That gets you in the game. Victory is serving God and furthering his kingdom. As he wants none to perish, and he's going to use us. Because what Satan intended for evil, God's going to use for good. Including what they do against us. Verse 18, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. That says if it's possible. I mean, there's just some people that just ain't gonna live peaceably with you. But if it's possible, whatever's up to you, be a peacemaker. So, this is very practical. Don't start trouble by being contentious and pious. Meaning, being critical of others. As from now on, again, we regard no one according to the flesh, but merely needing the Spirit, as it alludes to in 2 Corinthians 5:16. Blessed are the peacemakers, it says in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:9, for they shall be called sons of God. And loving your neighbor and your enemies is the best way to be a peacemaker, as then you may be able to share the good news of Jesus, because that's what's going to give them true peace, peace with God and the peace of God. And that can only happen when they want what you have, the love of God, that victorious life that they see in you. Let's turn to Matthew 5:43. I'm going to run a little long because Joy's not here to stop me. So you can really appreciate him when he comes back. You guys need to stand up for a minute? No, this won't take long, about another half hour. Pressing on. I'm going to read this, and this is going to explain about loving your enemies. Verse 43, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. This is Jesus speaking. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if You love those who love you. What reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Now, tax collectors were like the most despicable. Those are the deplorables of the time. Right? 47. And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Don't even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Say, oh, I can't be perfect. You can have a perfect heart. Because it has to be perfect, because Christ couldn't live in anything less than perfect. Amen? Where's he sitting? On the throne of your heart. Who perfected? Who made it perfect? God declared it perfect when he gave us that heart transplant. Now, that's where it comes in. The spirit is willing where the heart is, but the flesh is weak. The mind is weak. All right? So when somebody calls you weak-minded, think about that. Agree with them. Jesus said, treat your enemies as he did, basically. Beloved, verse 19, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. Give place to God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Vengeance is the Lord's department, and man's responsibility is merely to love. Don't hate. Don't seek revenge. Vengeance is God's. And this takes faith that he'll handle it. And that faith grows when we realize that if we defend ourselves, he can't defend us. When we defend ourselves, he can't defend us. In other words, we're going to go just like with Malchus, right? Peter cut off Malchus's ear. He couldn't defend what Peter did, but he could put the ear back on. He put the ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest, put his ear back on. Because Peter was operating in the flesh, God couldn't help him, couldn't stop him. Then he picked up the mess afterward. So let God take care of it. And you won't be in those messes that need to be cleaned up. You'll be loving as Christ loves. So our responsibility is to do that. Therefore, verse 20, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. In other words, be righteous. Remember, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you'll be filled. Well, now you've got the enemy hungering, thirsting for physical things. Well, you have been filled with righteousness. Feed them like Mother Teresa fed them, so that they too may be filled with righteousness. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on their heads. And Jesus said a lot about this, as we read in Matthew 5:43-48, as we are totally different, as we are being perfected by him. So our application, and in summary, verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. As what the world intends for evil, God uses for good, including us, to further his kingdom through us. As greater is he, the provider of all good things, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. This is our practical application. When we walk as Christ did, meaning having a life of victory enabled by him, this is our reasonable service. As living sacrifices who imitate Christ by becoming his love offering to a dark and dying world, as only he can enable and empower us to do, as that's what being perfected in Christ looks like. That's the qualities of his love working through us. And it's all because we have this victory that has overcome the world, our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you. We love you. We thank you for this loving message. But love isn't something that we're just to receive. We're to be a conduit for your love. As it's poured out in our heart, you have given us a cup that overflows. We're to pour it out to others so that they may see the love of God given through Christ Jesus. And want what we have, that life of victory enabled by him. Thank you, Father, for the way, the truth, and the life. We so often hang on to the way and the truth, but we're not really good at practicing the life because we get so tangled up in the world. My prayer today is that we will untangle ourselves with the world and draw closer to Jesus, cleaving to him, stuck like glue, with no space between us, in union with him. And then I know the love of God will shine through us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for our precious Jesus. Thank you for giving him to us and for us. Thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness, being our King, our Savior, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.